The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Donovan Mitchell's team lost. They were up 3-1 and they lost. He didn't have it last night. Tired legs. Didn't have a shooter's touch. Looked exhausted. Both teams did, really. And both stars did, Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray, who also didn't have a good game. But Donovan Mitchell, on a night where he wasn't feeling it offensively, went to his second and third and fourth move or trick in his bag of tricks to get his team going offensively in the third quarter and erased a double-digit deficit in a game where that deficit kept widening. Oh, wait, it's 6 points now. It's 8 points. It's 10 points. What is this, up to 15 points? This is about to be a blowout in a game seven. Well, look, Denver is a better team than Utah, and Michael Porter Jr. is a guy who can do things, and everyone knew if he could ever get healthy, he'd be a problem. So now they have three guys, along with Jokic, who's a near MVP candidate, and Jamal Murray's been having this. It's a little too much for Utah, and no, Gobert played really well, but no, Donovan Mitchell in the third quarter willed his team back into the game offensively. And then in the fourth quarter, I'm still not feeling it on the offensive end. After it was a game again, tied it up, even had a lead. After it was a game again, I'm still not feeling it on the offensive end. I'm going to take Jamal Murray one-on-one defensively. That guy played great defense. Donovan Mitchell's a superstar. And now he's getting a max contract extension. He deserves every penny and more. That's how you earn it. Had Ryan Hollins on the show earlier today, and Ryan said, look, the reason guys like Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell are putting on this kind of performance, now, obviously, look, everyone, and Ryan knows it, it starts with intrinsically how great they are, how talented they are, the work they put in, all those things are true, yes. But when you see ridiculous numbers in any sport, in any era, you know, everyone now has, like, better passing numbers than Dan Marino. How many are better than Dan Marino? Because now all the rules favor the quarterback differently and even more than they did in Dan Marino's era, right? When you see any Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig or Hack Wilson putting up absurd RBI totals, it's not because they had some knack for driving runners home. It's because the nature of the game that a bunch of high on-base percentage, low-power guys on a team, and then one big power guy on a team is going to have a lot of RBIs, right? So it's not... it's not that they're better than players from any other era. I mean, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. It's that the era they played in was, you know, conduced to it. Like, it was advantageous to those kind of numbers. Look, everyone points to Wilt Chamberlain. Who's ever going to average 50 and 25 over the course of a season? I think that was 60-61 or 61-62. Same year, Elgin Baylor averaged 37, and Oscar Robertson averaged 30 with a triple-double. Triple-double with 30 on the season. That's because that era, hell, if you translate those stats to a different era, you cut them in half. So obviously conditions right now favor these kind of performances. Ryan Hollins' analysis is twofold. One, because you're in the bubble and there's not the same kind of depth issue with the crowd, it favors shooters. Like those virtual crowds, everything, but it's really more of a flat surface. So the depth issue is better when you're looking at the basket. It's better for shooters. That's one. I think that's astute analysis. And two, when you have, it's not like they're exactly traditional bigs, Jokic and Gobert, but they're more like traditional bigs than some of the other bigs playing. Certainly their height and obviously defensively what Gobert can do. When you have guys like that, you don't have defensive switching. As much. When you don't have that, the guard, the ball handler, can go to work. And when the ball handler is very talented, and by the way, is cool under pressure, and like Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell, they can really go to town with the numbers. And that's what they've done. But who have they gone to town? And it's not just those 50 and 40-point games. It's the fact that Donovan Mitchell jumped out to a 3-1 lead, and Jamal Murray answered with some of the most incredible statistical performances in the history of playoff basketball to bring his team back. Now, I said cool under pressure. Donovan Mitchell got stripped, or he turned the ball over, poked out from behind, right? Last possession, or second to last possession, as it turned out. Jamal Murray streaking the other way. All he's got to do is dribble out the clock. Even if they get fouled, he's on the line. He hits one of two free throws. They can't possibly lose in overtime. He hits both. They definitely win in regulation, unless they, you know, foul a three-point shooter who then, and then the shot goes in and he hits the free throw, then you're going to overtime. It's highly unlikely. And the chances are they win anyway, period. Right? So that was a bad mental error by Jamal Murray, who admitted so after the game. When you look, and he could laugh about it now because they won. But Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell are the kind of athletes, when you leave it, or when you put the kind of work they put in to be this great, and when you play as hard as they do, there's no fronting. Why are you going to front and pretend? Like, you know, you just be honest. They have no reason not to be honest. They're honest players. Donovan Mitchell after the game.
Gary kind of jumped out, spun. I didn't even know where he was. He made a play. And then Mike made, they missed the layup, and Mike came down, and it looked good, man. But sometimes this is the way it works. This is just the beginning, and I'm ready to go hoop again right now, but this is just the beginning.
He's right. Conley's shot started to go down, and it came back out. Maybe not halfway down, but some fraction of a way down. Came back out. Shot could have easily been good, and they win, and they advance. Jamal Murray after the game.
First off, if we lost the game on that layup, Mike almost hit that shot. I was looking at the ball like, man, if this goes in, I'm gonna be heartbroken. But I've never been so happy to play so bad in my life. That was I messed up in so many different ways, offense and defense. But just my team had my back today. Thank God for them. Thank God for my coaching staff and everybody with me. So we got the job done.
Rob in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Max? How's it going?
I mean, hold on. We got to get rid of you now. Sorry, Rob. I've told everyone so many times, and here's the thing. How's it going? Just start giving me your opinion. Tell me you hate me, you love me, I'm bad, I'm good. I don't care what it is. Just give me your opinion.
Max, they've been listening. They've been here. You've been lenient with these people. You've been giving chances, but I think you've given enough chances.
I've heard, who was it? Was it Ali who was saying, I heard someone screening calls in my headphones during the commercial break. Ali's giving them the instructions.
Yes.
Kevin in North Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello. I think that Donovan Mitchell needs to get out of Utah.
He's just signed a max contract extension. Why does he need to get out of Utah? They put a good team around him, and he signed a max contract extension. Now, look, Utah tried with Mike Conley, and Conley sounded like a good idea. Maybe he's a little long in the tooth. Maybe for whatever surprising reason, it doesn't work. But it's not like Utah's not trying. And if Conley were playing at the level that he's played throughout most of his career, Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Gobert, maybe now they're one piece short. I mean, Ingles and these guys, they can play. But maybe they're one little more special piece short of making a real championship run. Raj, when you enlarge the screen like this, I'm looking at words. I heard one more minute now, about a minute ago, so I know I'm supposed to get the break.
You've been complaining
now
that the screen is too small for
but,
how
but
long?
You don't, but you
and
don't
now,
look.
And now you can't complain that it's too large.
Raj,
and I did
you
mess
can't,
something up. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, you just here it is.
I hit a wrong command button.
Yes, you keep paying attention to your fantasy sports, and I'm not denying that those are very important. To pay attention to fantasy sports. Listen up, kids. This is an important lesson. You're being told to do your schoolwork, to do whatever. No, fantasy sports is more important. I agree. You have to cut school if you have to. That's fine. If you're at work, you're supporting your family, even from home now because of COVID, and you think, I really shouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
Mr.
I don't know how to get this sheet back.
You know, Mr. C or whoever your boss is, you know, he told me I better have those reports. Let me just see what's going on. Nope, more important to do the fantasy sports. I agree. The one place that doesn't apply is this radio show for some reason, Raj. More important that I can see what I need to read than even your fantasy team, believe it or not. Now, let me just describe people what I'm looking at. I'm looking at different TV shows on the upper right-hand side of my screen. Raj is controlling all this. I see Zoom on the button. Are we in Zoom right now, Raj? Is that what I'm looking at? Office 365, whatever that is?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. This is what I'm going to do, Raj, because you're struggling a little bit right now. I am going to throw to commercial break.
Hang on.
And coming up, you did it just in time.
Woo! I got teas and everything up here. Oh, look at that.
Game 7, I just went over. I was going to talk about Big Ten football. I'll do that in a little bit. Game 7 was great enough from last night. I don't know what was sloppy, but what drama? You turn on TV, what you're looking for is drama. What drama last night? And it could be the same thing tonight. Rockets and Thunder, and there's so much on the line. Harden and these guys and Chris Paul and Westbrook, they have less in front of them than Donovan Mitchell, you would think. No one's promised tomorrow, athletically or otherwise, but you would think they have less in front of them in their careers than Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray. So the stakes in that way are even higher for tonight's game.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. You can. Hey, anyone ever notice that your phone, if you have an iPhone, it kind of just starts like sometimes taking dictation when you don't want it to? Or sometimes like you'll be talking about something and then an ad will pop up like it's listening to you when you don't want it to? That just happened. All right. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If there's a game, someone's betting on it. Stream Better Days. Aha, but see, you can't see what it's called. Better Days. B-E-T-T-O-R Days. Very clever. Better Days, the new Mike Greenberg-hosted series about epic sports betting stories told by the bettors themselves. The series premieres on ESPN Plus this Thursday, September 3rd. Stream new episodes every week only on ESPN Plus. By the way, I saw this gambling thing coming some friends of mine and I from so far out, like 10 or 15 years ago, we were pitching a gambling network channel, you know, like a gambling network. Because it feels to me, and I think a lot of fantasy sports bears this out, like half of sports is, like the sports market seems to me to be gambling of one form or another. Like, Rog, you're completely addicted to fantasy sports.
Absolutely, a form of betting.
Yeah, you can barely pay attention to your family or your job. And it's basically a form of gambling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel great.
And yeah, yeah. I, by the way, I encourage it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, they were traded for each other. Chris Paul has come through big time. Russell Westbrook's been amazing, a revelation in the regular season, and Daryl Morey's microball experiment worked in the regular season. Here we are in the playoffs. And by the way, Daryl Morey, I'm sure, is not sitting there going, aha, that's a foolproof plan. No, he's looking at the cards he's dealt. He's like, can I get some value for this card or that? Okay, and now what can I make out of this? And what he sees is, of course you're going to give up offensive rebounds and stuff like that, but what you're looking for is kind of Russell Westbrook as your point center. In other words, he's going to collapse the defense, kick out, or get to the paint and score, or get fouled and go to the line. Especially when he stopped shooting the three, because he simply, ideally, he would shoot it well enough to have him keep shooting it, but he didn't. So they scrapped that, and everyone else shoots the three. That worked, but will it work in the playoffs? And Presti and Morey, this is like a battle of, you know, clash of the titans of GMs. They're both great GMs. And Presti did some number in OKC. Dennis Schroeder, who's a nice player, but a bad defensive player, he gets to OKC, it turns out he can defend quite well. And he's actually a good offensive player, not just like he looks like he's filling up the traditional numbers, but he's not efficient. No, he's really good. Steven Adams, obviously. And they flip Paul George into Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari, two borderline all-star players. One maybe, you know, has seen his best days. Not that he's bad, but Gallinari's not going to get better than he was. But Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is ascending. That's a hell of a team that they put together in OKC. But no one player like James Harden or Russell Westbrook until it matters most, it seems. And then now Chris Paul is just kind of showing off. Can he get it done? Can he lead his team past Russell Westbrook, for whom he was traded? Ooh, James Harden better have a big game. I'm rooting for James Harden here. Like, I'll feel great for Chris Paul and them if they win, but I'm rooting for James Harden because I don't want to have to come on this show and on First Take tomorrow and be like, he blew it. He choked. I don't want to say that. I take no pleasure in saying that. But I have to say it if it's true. And as much as I've stayed away from criticizing him in this first round series, because I think he's been playing at an MVP level, those who want to point out that on those consecutive late possessions where Westbrook was taking, had the ball in his hands and Harden wasn't getting the ball, some have pointed out, including Ryan Hollins earlier on this show, was Harden fighting to get open? Not really. There was no fight there to get open, no. I predict the Rockets will win by multiple possessions tonight, and I predict that Harden will play well. I just have a feeling he's going to get off the schneid, but that's a feeling I have. He's got to actually go ahead and do it. Tim Legler on James Harden.
Till he gets them all the way, and I mean talking about 2A finals, he's going to continue to deal with this every time his teams come up short in the postseason. So I think a lot of it's going to fall at his feet. He has to have a big-time performance. When you put your offense, Greeny, that much in one player's hands, the way that they do, it's unprecedented in NBA history, the way they operate their offense around one player. Well, then you need to come through with a huge performance when your team has to have it. So it's going to fall in large part at his feet. And I think, obviously, with Mike D'Antoni not having a new contract, I think that would lead to a coaching change as well. So there's going to be some definite changes the way you look at everything, and there's no question Harden can't escape this if they don't win this game.
He's not wrong. Everyone knows it. I know it's like, oh, the dumb sports guy kind of opinion. Turn it into the story of one guy. Guys, it's inescapable. First of all, you can't tell the story of history. You can't tell history. You can't explain it to people without a narrative structure involving characters. That's why when you see like historical fiction sometimes, they'll make this one character. Did that person really exist? No. That was an amalgam of that was like two or three characters condensed into one. Because you got to tell the story through characters. And that's how we will remember all of this. Now, does that make it true? Well, the underlying truth is there was a lot of different components to it. That's a philosophical debate we can have. I think there is truth in it, actually. But the fact is, history will record. Either James Harden came through or he didn't. Right now. Whew, what storylines for Game 7. There's a team not many are talking about, but I'm telling you, they can win it all right now. There are several teams that can go all the way in this bubble. It's not usually like that in the NBA.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. And that's all the time we have. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. A lot of stuff to read, though, to get into the segment, Raj. Raptors over a 72-game schedule, both the Raptors and the Celtics played 72 game regular season games this season, were five full games better than the Celtics. That's not statistically insignificant. They were the better team. The Celtics then lose Gordon Hayward, it looked like, for the series. All right, I guess that's it for the Celtics. Not so fast. Boston has yet to lose a playoff game. Swept a Ben Simmons-less Sixers team and are up 1-0 on the Raptors. How are they doing it without Gordon Hayward? So 2-0 on the Raptors, excuse me. That's right. Yeah, that was, 2-0 on the Raptors. They won by a comfortable margin in Game 1, where they played excellent defense and they were hitting those corner threes. And in Game 2, Pascal Siakam steps out of bounds by like a fraction of an inch. and turns the ball over in a game they could have won. Now they're down 0-2. I don't think it's impossible that the Raptors can come back on the Celtics. You know, normally, if they were going to now have to hit the road and go to Boston to try to win 2 out of 3, let's say, in Boston, tough. But you don't have to. This is the advantage of being in the bubble on a neutral site. You know, home court, of course, is an advantage. And who did I see had it? 80%. Nate Duncan, who I follow on Twitter, I'm pretty sure, had it like, you know, it's a cool kind of experiment, right? Interesting playoffs where game sevens are on a neutral site. It's not like, well, it's 80% likely the home team's going to win. Nah. No, it's not. So on the one hand, you want to jump out to a lead in a series, sure, but if home court means that much, boy, a game two on your own home court is a must win, because then you got to go on the road and try to get back into the series, but the Raptors don't have to do that, and they're a very good team. Here's the thing about the Celtics, and the Celtics can go all the way, and they can do it right now. It's possible. I think the same thing about the Heat, by the way. When the Lakers are like, we have a big three, LeBron James, one of the two or three greatest players who ever lived. Anthony Davis has a chance maybe one day to replace Tim Duncan as the greatest power forward of all time. And Kyle Kuzma, a below average starter in the NBA. That's not a big three, guys. That's a big two and a young player you hope gets better, who may have the third most responsibility in the offense, but it doesn't make him part of a big three. Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett. That's a big three. Three guys going to the Hall of Fame and they can still ball. That's a big three. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh is a big three. Whether or not you think they're big, they're at least on the very high side of medium, right? When you talk about the Celtics' big four. Kemba Walker is an all-star caliber player. Jason Tatum's an all-star caliber player. Jaylen Brown has developed into the same kind of thing. He's better than average starter. Like, to say you're better than average NBA player, you're the sixth best player on the roster out of 13 guys. But to say you're a better than average NBA starter, that's a whole different level. Right? Better than average NBA starter, you're the, what, third best player on your team, probably? Fourth best, maybe? The Celtics have Kemba Walker, all-star. Jason Tatum, all-star caliber player. Jaylen Brown, if he's not an all-star caliber player, he's in that direction. He's better than just a starter. Gordon Hayward. But without an MVP caliber player, like, you kind of need all four of those guys. No Gordon Hayward, tough. No! Because Tice, is it Thice or Tice? It's not Theus. Tice.
Short for Tyson. That's all you got to think.
I always get it wrong. But Tice is better than average. He's a better than average starting caliber player, even if he doesn't have the offense of the other guys. And then Marcus Smart. The upside of Hayward not playing is more minutes for Marcus Smart. And look at the game he had yesterday. And he's just the kind of guy, you know, like, who do you want in the trenches with you? Yep, Marcus Smart is that kind of player. And then if they get past the Raptors and they have a significant series lead now, they get Gordon Hayward back. This is a good, I'm just telling you, the Heat could go all the way right now. The Celtics could go all the way right now. Now think about it. If the Celtics beat the Raptors, are they meeting some unstoppable force in the next round? Who are they meeting that you think is unstoppable? You think the Heat, like if it's the Heat-Celtics, is that, are you sure that one team or another wins that series? And then if you get to the finals, you see an unbeatable team in the NBA right now? There's no Golden State Warriors right now. They could go all the way.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
So, Trump is trying to get the Big Ten to play football on schedule in the fall. It's a naked political move. and as has been the case throughout the pandemic, the politics are put in front of health. The ongoing disastrous response to the pandemic at the federal level includes now advisors to the president who are suggesting the Sweden model, herd immunity, meaning let's everyone get it at once, then we can get through it. First of all, even if you have the antibodies, what they're finding is they don't last very long, 3 months, 6 months, and then you can get it again. But more importantly than that, the estimates I've seen are 2 to 3 million casualties as a result. So I would hope people would find this a morally abhorrent idea. But in addition, you don't get any economic benefits. Sweden tried herd immunity, and it has an early economic benefit because business is open. But then everything comes raging back. So while other countries can then start slowly opening in phases and stuff, you can't because now you have a problem. And you still don't achieve herd immunity. You need like 70% of the population, something like that. In fact, you still don't achieve herd immunity. So Sweden has not seen economic benefits, but they had a health crisis worse than their neighbors. It's a very bad idea. Anyway, so why would there be political pressure brought to bear on the Big Ten to play now? I mean, there are obvious reasons why the schools would want to play, billions at stake, and especially a place like Ohio State, or, you know, a place that thinks, oh, we can win it all right now, and pressure from parents and who are misguided, I think. But the early economic benefits and the fact that people get football are good in an election year. The election's in early November. By the time it comes raging back, the hope would be, too late, the election's over. And if it comes raging back before then, Trump would just simply shift blame and refuse to take responsibility, which has been the pattern here. And now think about the Big Ten, where it's played. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, these are all swing states. It's just a, pardon the pun, a political football to win swing voters in swing states. That's it. Do you understand the Big Ten is aware that at least 10 student athletes have a rare heart condition that you should not see in young people at these numbers, associated, correlated with COVID? Do you know that right now Georgia has over 800 cases on campus? That Alabama has over 1,200 because they foolishly are cramming kids into on campus way too soon? Virus doesn't care about your politics. So the Big Ten's not, and Trump said that we're on the 1 yard line. Kind of like when he said he was too busy to throw out the pitch for Yankees on opening day. And the Yankees came out and said, what are you talking about? We didn't have anything scheduled for Trump to throw out the pitch on opening day. Every single independent fact-checking organization can give you numbers. These are available if you know where to look. That this president lies more than every president combined in my lifetime so far. It is what it is. And so this is, you know, trying to turn this into a political football. I don't think they're on the 1 yard line with this. I don't think we're going to see Big Ten football start on time in the fall. And if we did, it would be a major mistake. This is the first time in my lifetime that I can remember. And by the way, it's not a right wing or left wing thing that I can remember any administration so consistently trying to suppress what the health experts are saying and so consistently trying to push political interests instead, and sometimes in the guise of health experts. Very dangerous. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
On the game tonight, sad facts, on the game tonight, I think the pressure's on Westbrook. Yeah, I'm tired. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's a great player. I'll take him on my team. The pressure's him, but I think it's Chris Paul. He had a great chance. He had a good chance with a good team in the Clippers. Never got past the second round. This will be another scratch. He's the A-Rod of the NBA.
I don't think Chris Paul, I wouldn't compare him to A-Rod. A-Rod put up some of the greatest regular season numbers of all time. And until much later in his career, well, at least with the Yankees, wasn't really coming through when you wanted him to, and then eventually had the kind of season where he couldn't miss the ball, and then, of course, he got caught up in a PED scandal, and maybe that's why he couldn't miss the ball, even under pressure. But A-Rod never really seemed comfortable in his own skin. Chris Paul does to me. And Chris Paul hasn't put up it's not like, oh my God, look at Chris Paul's statistical profile. That really shows you what a great player he is. Although it does. Chris Paul, it's really watching him play that you get the sense like, that is the perfect point guard. I know what a point guard has meant has changed now. And there are better point guards than him, like LeBron James, like Steph Curry when he's healthy. You could argue James Harden for sure. But in terms of like the ideal of what a point guard is supposed to do, at least from the previous generation, what doesn't Chris Paul do? He leads, he plays big in crunch time, he shoots, he passes, he has a sense for the rhythm of a game, when to get guys involved, when he needs to score, and he plays defense. What more do you want a guy to do? And by the way, while he's on a very good team, the Rockets are favored to win the series when this started. If OKC wins, that's an upset. John in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, Max, if you were the Philadelphia 76ers, would you trade Joel Embiid for Devin Booker?
That's a great question. You know, on the one hand, we're way past the era where you don't trade size for a smaller player. It's a great question. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Off the top of my head, I would say no. Because it's harder to find what Embiid brings you. But the reason I might is because of his injury history. Joel Embiid was drafted third because of his knees, but his back has been the people, in the Sixers organization are worried about his back. But he is a game-changing player, Embiid. It's a great question. You stumped me. It's a great question. Devin Booker has shown in the bubble, at least over a short period of time, that not only can he fill up the stat sheet, but he can do it in the effort of a winning cause. He can lead his team to victory while he's filling up the stat sheet. A special player. Two great games tonight, including a must, like a game seven, a can't miss game seven.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.